The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 405 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New podcast for you every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Love to get your feedback, questions, comments about the show on Twitter. Don't hold back if you agree, disagree. All the comments are welcome on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. And I like to throw out questions over the course of the show, so you can respond on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I'm in a good mood, warmed up over the weekend. Saturday, we actually got around 60 degrees. I still do have some snow in the yard and some snow out in the street, but when you get hammered with more than 30 inches in one storm, that's going to happen. But a nice weekend, people are in a better mood, spring training is underway, teams have all their guys in camp getting ready for those full squad workouts, and then we'll have exhibition games coming up in the season right around the corner. So we are looking forward to baseball. Speaking of that, you know I like to see what's going on out in the desert there in Vegas. I have your 2016 Major League Baseball over-unders. Now, these are the favorites in the National League and the American League. I'll tell you who the wise guys like out in Vegas for the upcoming baseball season, and also who they don't like, the two teams with the lowest totals. So we will get to the diamond a little bit. Got to talk about the Daytona 500. And you know, I am a baseball, basketball, football type of guy. That's usually what we focus on. I prefer right turns. Is that a low blow to NASCAR Nation? I'm sorry. But I would like a few more right turns in there. This finish, 1/100th of a second. Are you kidding me? Lap after lap after lap, and it comes down to 1/100th of a second. Unbelievable. So we'll talk about what happened down in Daytona. And like it or not, LeBron James and the Cavaliers are going back to the NBA Finals. I know you LeBron haters don't want to hear that, but it is true. And I'm just trying to prepare you for what is going to happen. Did you see what the Cavs did on the road to the Thunder on Sunday? Wow. Oklahoma City got run off its home court on national TV. And the NFL season is over. So Sunday, a lot of people, if you're a sports fan, you're probably focused on that game. It was a blowout. The Western Conference is not a one-horse race, in my opinion. I think the East is. And we all love to watch Golden State, Steph Curry and company, Klay Thompson. But don't count out the Spurs just yet. Much more NBA talk on the way. And how about Anthony Davis setting a franchise record? The guy was unstoppable. I have a good list for you today. It ranks the top 10 athletes of all time. 7 different sports are represented. I do not agree with the list, but it's still fun to talk about. So we will get to that. It's one of those stories that I've had for a long time, but you know, with the NFL playoffs and then the Super Bowl, I think you understand why that was the focus of the show for so many weeks. When you have businesses out there paying $5 million for 30 seconds of airtime, that tells you just how significant the NFL is here in the good old US of A. But I have this list that I've been sitting on for a little bit, so we'll talk about that. The greatest athletes of all time. And some of the names in there may surprise you a little bit. Not that they're on this list, but that they're as high as they are. So all of that's coming up here on episode number 405 of the Sports Report podcast. Great to have you aboard. Tell your friends, your family members, your coworkers, if they love sports, to tune in every Monday 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. Let's start with a little racing here. And we know from Tom Cruise, Days of Thunder, rubbing is racing. And it was a little rubbing on that final lap. Denny Hamlin takes the checkered flag in the Daytona 500 in a photo finish. He beat Martin Truex Jr. at the wire. After the race, Truex Jr. said that he thought he won. It was that close. This is the closest finish in the history of the Daytona 500. And you have to feel good for Joe Gibbs. Now, I'm a Redskins fan. So, I mean, Joe Gibbs, good guy, Super Bowl winning coach. Back in the days when the NFC East wasn't the NFC least. You have Bill Parcells, Joe Gibbs, Buddy Ryan and the Eagles. Those were the days. Going back to Tom Landry, then Jimmy Johnson with the Cowboys. But Joe Gibbs had a long drought in the Daytona 500. That is over now. It was 23 years. And Hamlin's able to give him that victory. Hamlin got a nice little push from Kevin Harvick, so he can thank him. He wins it for the first time in 10 tries. And I think you could say he deserved it. I mean, he led 95 laps. He led more laps than anybody else. Kyle Busch was second. Kevin Harvick was fourth. Carl Edwards was fifth. Now, the way this thing played out, you had Matt Kenseth, who was kind of jockeying for position with Denny Hamlin, and Kenseth is trying to block him on that final lap. They bump. Kenseth nearly lost control of his car. He went up to the high side, hit the wall a little bit. He ended up finishing 14th. But here's the kicker. They're teammates. It's a great day for Toyota. But they are teammates. And I'm just wondering, I know in this race, Daytona 500, it is every man for himself. Because this is such a big time race. But what if Kenseth causes an accident there and wipes himself out, wipes Hamlin out, and wipes Truex Jr. out, and another team gets in there and wins? I think people might be looking at his move a little bit differently there, because he dropped down and they bumped. Now, it did not affect Denny Hamlin. He went on to win the race. But you never know when you touch like that, what's going to happen. 20-year-old Chase Elliott, he was the big story going into the race. Youngest pole sitter ever. Of course, everybody knows about his dad, Hall of Famer. Well, 19 laps in, he loses control. His car had to be towed to the garage. He was 37th, one spot behind Dale Earnhardt Jr., who also crashed. So not a good day for Jr., but greatest moment in Denny Hamlin's career, winning it for Joe Gibbs. Your thoughts on the race, and even if you're not a big NASCAR fan, and I admit I am not, but to see a finish like that, I mean, I will take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Now, I'm not going to sit there and watch all the coverage hour after hour after hour. By the way, speaking of the coverage, the final lap, and they're getting down to it. And this is a pet peeve of mine, whether it's NASCAR, NFL, NBA, NHL, I don't care. You have a play-by-play guy, and you have an analyst. Sometimes you have more than one analyst. When you're going down the stretch, let the play-by-play guy make his call. Please, don't jump all over the call and ruin it. And that's what happened at the end of this race. You got three guys talking. You can't understand anything. I mean, just think about when you're out in public or you're at a board meeting at work or you're talking to a coworker or a relative. What if three people all start flapping at the gums at once? Guess what happens? Nobody gets the point across because you can't hear anything. So leave it to the play-by-play guy. Once he finishes his call, then you chime in. I mean, those are the mechanics of the game. But you don't jump all over the call there, especially a great race, fantastic finish, closest finish ever in the Daytona 500. That's just, like I said, that's one of my pet peeves when it comes to sports broadcasting. This is episode number 405 of the Sports Report. Maybe you disagree. Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT what you thought of the race, what you thought of what Kenseth did at the end to his teammate there, trying to block him. And Joe Gibbs as well. You can weigh in on that. Let me know on Twitter, the Sports RPT. Much more coming up. The top 10 greatest athletes of all time. We'll talk NBA, LeBron and the Cavs looking good. Major League Baseball over-unders. Jam-packed show today on the Sports Report podcast. And we are brought to you by our great sponsor, that's iHome. From the portable color-changing IBT-74 to the 100% waterproof IBN-6, iHome has all of your Bluetooth needs covered. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just hanging out at home and relaxing on the couch. Go to iHomeAudio.com, look at all the fantastic products. You can also check out their apps and accessories. iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. The website, again, iHomeAudio.com. The sound quality cannot be beat. Take a look at the IBT-74 and the 100% waterproof IBN-6. They're all on the website, iHomeAudio.com. Moving right along here on episode number 405 of the Sports Report, to the NBA we go. You know, I'm a hoops junkie, March Madness around the corner. I know it's still February and the regular season is not the playoffs. I get that. But, and this is a Fat Albert size but, the Cleveland Cavaliers, like them or not, will be in the NBA Finals again this year. You can mark it down, get out the Sharpie, permanent marker, it is going to happen. And the LeBron haters who love to rip him and the Cavs anytime that they slip up, sorry, I'm just telling you, get ready for it. It's coming. Forget about Toronto or Atlanta or Boston, Miami, Indiana. Nope, it is going to be Cleveland again. And Sunday just reinforced my opinion on that, which I've never wavered from. I always thought Cleveland was the best in the East. I've said it from day one. The beast of the East, the Cavaliers. They were at OKC, nationally televised game, and not only did they beat the Thunder with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, two electric players. How about the one dunk that Westbrook had going down the lane? Oh my God. I mean, that is a powerful young guy. I mean, he can rock the rim with the best of them. But not only did the Cavs win, they blew Oklahoma City out. Final score was 115-92. Middle quarters, the guts of the game. Cleveland outscored OKC 68-45. Game over. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. Oklahoma City is 40-16. That is a really, really good team. One of the top teams, not just in the Western Conference. They're one of the best teams in the league. And they lost at home by 23 points. And I don't care what any of those players say. When they're playing Sunday and it's on national TV, they know about it and they're looking to bring their A game. None of these professional athletes want to be embarrassed like that. Kevin Love, big day, 29 points, 11 rebounds. That is a great sign if you're a Cavs fan to see him more involved in the offense. LeBron just missed a triple-double, 25 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds. And again, I've always thought he's much more of a Magic Johnson than a Michael Jordan. When he first came in the league, people, you know, love to make comparisons. To me, Kobe Bryant, who played his final game at the United Center in Chicago on Sunday, Kobe Bryant much more like Michael Jordan, LeBron more like Magic because of how unselfish he is, what a great passer he is, the vision that he has. Kyrie Irving only played 9 minutes in the game due to an illness, and this was still a rout. Durant, Westbrook combined for 46 points, 14 rebounds, 14 assists. They did not get much help, however. Nobody off the bench had more than six. Cleveland shot 51%. Cavs made 10 three-pointers, and they gave up just 39 points in the second half. And you know, with Tyronn Lue, they want to play more up pace, more up tempo, push the ball a little bit. But LeBron talked after the game that they've been stressing defense. And you saw that in the second half. That's an impressive road win right there. OKC is good. And they got hammered. Durant was ticked off after the game. And rightfully so. Again, you don't want to be embarrassed like that. Everybody's watching. But here is the big picture point. No one in the East is beating the Cavaliers in the playoffs. Sorry, it's true. Toronto's got a really nice backcourt with Kyle Lowry, who I saw play a lot at Villanova, and DeMar DeRozan. They each average more than 20 points a game. But the Raptors got swept by Washington last year in the first round. Get the brooms out. A sweep by the Wizards. Opening round. Atlanta plays like a true team. I have a lot of respect for the Hawks. I think they play the game the right way with Millsap and Horford. That's a good front line combo. You have Teague. You have Korver who can shoot the three. That's a balanced team. But come on. The Hawks are not taking out the Cavs in a playoff series. Cleveland beat Atlanta 4-0 a year ago in the Eastern Conference Finals. Boston's the trendy McTrenderson team now. So all the young kids out there with beards and skinny jeans and all kinds of smartphones, they're going to be all over the Celtics. They're 33-24. It's a good story. They have the third best record in the Eastern Conference. But let's not go crazy. All right, I'm not doing cartwheels over the Boston Celtics. Unfortunately, Chris Bosh is dealing with a clot in his left leg. And you hate to see that happen to anyone. That's scary stuff right there. I can't see him coming back anytime soon, if at all, this season. And that is a big-time loss because Bosh was playing well. I thought Chicago would be better. I really thought if there was one team that could challenge Cleveland, it would be the Bulls. 29-26 is disappointing for that roster. And they've lost 7 of their last 10. And let's not forget, Cleveland did take Golden State to 6 games in the NBA Finals when the Cavs were clearly shorthanded. The Warriors are the best in the business. You're getting no argument here. They are 49-5. They are 24-0 at home. I mean, we're in late February. They haven't lost a home game yet. Steph Curry is a highlight waiting to happen. Maybe the best shooter ever and an unbelievable handle. I mean, he's so much fun to watch. Plus, you got Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala stepped up big time in the finals last year. He can guard multiple positions, veteran player. The Warriors' depth is awesome when you look at that bench. So they are the favorite, but you know me. I have always respected the San Antonio Spurs. A lot of the media bobbleheads, they overlook them because they're not the sexy pick. They're not flashy. But you know what they do? They win. And they win big. 47-9 right now. 28-0 at home. And you barely hear about the Spurs. Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge. These are stars. They aren't role players. These are stars. And you have Parker and Duncan and Ginobili. They haven't forgot how to play the game. Greg Popovich, Hall of Fame coach. Funny interviews, too, from Popovich. I would love to see a San Antonio Golden State Western Final. That's what I want to see. So here are two questions for those of you on Twitter, and you can follow me at the Sports RPT. Number one, are the Cavs a lock in the Eastern Conference? And is the West a two-horse race? If so, do you think the Spurs have a shot? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Do the Spurs have a shot in the West, or is it all Golden State all the time? And can anyone beat the Cavaliers in a series in the Eastern Conference playoffs? As I don't see that happening. Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Now to the unibrow, Anthony Davis. He went off on Sunday at Detroit. Scored a franchise record 59 points. 59 big ones for Davis. 24 of 34. He shot 70% from the field. He even made the only two threes that he took. I mean, that's an omen right there. He could not be stopped. And Davis has really worked on his jumper. He's got a nice mid-range game, and he's 6'10", plus throwing 20 rebounds. How about this list? Davis, Shaquille O'Neal, and Wilt Chamberlain are the only players ever with 55 points and 20 rebounds in a game. Shaq, Wilt, and now Anthony Davis. Pelicans won the game 111-106. Amazing, it's that close. You have a guy go for 59, you only win by 5. The previous franchise record was held by Jamal Mashburn. Oh, what a scorer he was. Even going back to his Kentucky days. What a college player. The Monster Mash. He had 50 13 years ago in the NBA. The scary thing about Davis is he's only 22. He'll be 23 in March. I love the consistency too. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 2 or 3 blocks. He'll shoot over 50% from the field. And oh, by the way, Davis made 3 3-pointers in his first 3 years in the NBA. 3 of them in 3 years. This year, he's made 25 threes. And what does that tell you? That tells you you have a guy here who is putting in time and isn't content with his game. He wants to get better. He wants to add something to his game, and he's trying to add that three-point shot. Still doesn't shoot a great percentage, but he can make them from time to time. What a future. Davis, the second youngest player ever to go for 50 points and 20 rebounds. Can you name the other? It's good trivia here. It's not Shaq, not Wilt. The youngest player ever to go for 50 points and 20 rebounds. Answer, how about that Bob McAdoo in the 1973-74 season? I was not even born yet. Bob McAdoo, the answer there. What did you think of what Anthony Davis did on Sunday? You can respond on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Let me get to some baseball here on episode number 405. We move along quickly. A lot to get to. Over-unders for 2016. The two lowest totals. So these are the teams that Vegas thinks are going to be the worst teams. You have the Atlanta Braves dead last, only 65 wins. Jeez, what happened to the days of Maddox and Glavin and Smoltz? They're over with. You know, they got a new stadium, new ballpark coming down there, and they're just going with a youth movement. They got rid of a lot of guys just trying to build from the ground up again with prospects and young players. So their total is 65. The Phillies' total is 66.5. So those are the two lowest. Now to your favorites. Let's go to the American League. We'll start with the Royals, who won the World Series a year ago. The Royals and the Blue Jays are at 87 wins. That's the total for Kansas City. And last year before the season, I know I mentioned, I thought the Royals' total was way too low. I think Vegas had the Royals right around 500, like 81, 82 wins, something like that. I should have bet the house on that one. So in the American League, the Royals and the Blue Jays are your favorites at 87. The Yankees are at 85. The Bronx Bombers getting a little respect, but their total is lower than the New York Mets. Here are the favorites in the National League. The Giants, 90 wins. And it is an even year, 2016. So look out for San Francisco. Why? Well, who won the World Series in 2010? Who won the World Series in 2012? And who won it in 2014? The answer, Giants, Giants, and yep, Giants. Now we're in an even year again. The Cubs have the second biggest total, 89. Then you have the Mets at 88. Gotta love the Mets pitching there. And they keep Cespedes, which was very important. They need the pop in the middle of the lineup. Don't want to waste that pitching. Cardinals at 87.5. Dodgers, Nationals, Pirates, all at 87. So those are your MLB over-unders. NL favorites, the Giants, Cubs, and Mets, the top three. American League, it's Kansas City, Toronto, and the Yankees. Two worst teams, Braves and the Phillies. Atlanta, 65. Phillies, 66.5. Speaking of the Phillies, former Philly shortstop, he's with the Dodgers last year. This story caught my eye. Jimmy Rollins. Did you hear he signed a minor league deal with the White Sox? He's 37 years old now. Won an MVP in 2007. Four-time Gold Glove winner. Great defensively. Three-time All-Star. But last year with the Dodgers, ouch. A 224 batting average. An OPS of 643. 86 strikeouts, 44 walks. He struck out almost twice as much as he walked. Did have 13 homers, but 224 with an OPS of 643. Listen, I'm not one of those media bobbleheads that's constantly telling athletes when to retire. I don't do that on the show because this is how I view it. Imagine if somebody came up to you at work or me and said, you know what? Your last few shows haven't been real good. How about you retire? You know, you'd be offended, right? You'd probably take that personally. You'd get ticked off. So I'm not one that goes around and says, this guy should hang it up or he's done. He should quit. It's all over. Write him off. Hang up the cleats. I usually don't do that. But I am surprised Jimmy Rollins continues to play here. And this is a minor league deal. Invite to spring training with the White Sox. Man, I'm a former MVP hitting 224. I was never a Rollins guy. I think Rollins loves the cameras, the attention, the bright lights. I'm not a fan of guys who don't run balls out, show up late from time to time. Even Charlie Manuel, who's your classic player's manager, even he had to sit down Rollins sometimes. And then Rollins went on national TV, ripped Phillies fans for being front runners. So I'm not a fan of J-Roll, or K-Roll, as I patented the nickname, because he does swing and miss a little bit for a little guy. But that's one that crossed my eye. All right, now we get to my list for today. I always love a good list. That's part of the show here on the Sports Report podcast with you every Monday. We're talking about the greatest athletes of all time. Who are the best? This is a Harris Poll survey. Number one, numero uno, Michael Jordan. Once again, he is on the top of the survey. They did this in 2009, and then they just did it again. So some time in between here, but no change on the top of the list. Greatest athletes of all time, Michael Jordan, number one. He is followed by the Babe, Babe Ruth, speaking of baseball, and then Muhammad Ali, who each moved up a spot from the 2009 survey. So the Babe's two now. Muhammad Ali is three. Tiger Woods, who was up to number two in 2009, fell down to number eight. Rounding out the top five, guess who's number four? Serena Williams. That's right. She wasn't even ranked when they did it in 2009. She is number four. And Peyton Manning moved up from number eight to number five. So your top five is Jordan, Babe Ruth, Ali, Serena, and Peyton Manning. Filling out the top 10 after Peyton Manning, Joe Montana is number six, LeBron seven, Tiger eight, Tom Brady's number nine, first time that Brady's in the top 10, and then Wayne Gretzky is number 10. So seven different sports are represented here, which makes it pretty cool. Falling out of the top 10, Brett Favre, Ted Williams, and Hank Aaron. Aaron did still appear on the list of the best baseball players of all time. He was number two, right behind Babe Ruth. So not only did they do all the sports, but they also then individualized it with just looking at the sport by itself. So they had Aaron, number two behind Babe Ruth. Mickey Mantle was third, always a popular player. Followed by a three-way tie for fourth, Willie Mays, Ted Williams, and Pete Rose. Montana was named the greatest football player, followed by Brady, Manning, Walter Payton, and Jim Brown. That was the top five for football. For basketball, Jordan was the greatest ahead of Wilt. LeBron made his debut at number three in this Harris poll. He moved past Bill Russell and Kareem. Magic and Larry dropped off of the top five. The Harris poll also has sports fans what sport they followed. The most popular sport in our country was the NFL, which is followed by 50% of the people surveyed. Baseball was next at 32%. So you see, the NFL is king. College football, 29%. I thought maybe college football would be higher than baseball. Close. NBA was fourth, 22%. College basketball, number five at 19%. The NHL, number six. Now, that was followed by 15% of the people who took this survey. PGA Tour was at 13%. Women's tennis, 9%, which beat men's tennis, 8%. So, no surprise, NFL, number one, followed by 50% of the people surveyed. I actually think that might be a little bit low. So, as for the top 10, I think Jim Thorpe should be on the list. No question about it. Again, for the young bucks out there, they're not even going to know who the guy is. But we're talking about someone who won an Olympic gold medal in 1912, did it in the decathlon and pentathlon, played pro football and pro baseball. He is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, this guy did it all. I mean, that's a true sense of an athlete. A lot of people don't remember him anymore, so I guess that's the reason there. I am surprised that Serena Williams is all the way up at number four. I mean, tennis just isn't nearly as popular as some of those other sports. I would put Tom Brady ahead of both Peyton Manning and Joe Montana. I think Brady is the number one quarterback of all time. I changed that after he won another Super Bowl a couple seasons ago. I used to have Montana number one. I flipped him. I now have Brady number one and Montana number two. So I'd have Brady ahead of both Manning and Montana. I'd also have Jack Nicklaus ahead of Tiger Woods. Nicklaus has won the most majors with 18, four more than Tiger, who may never win another one. Just so many injuries, and you have a great field of young golfers out there right now. So what changes would you make to this top 10 list? Greatest athletes of all time. Again, number one, Michael Jordan, two, Babe Ruth, three, Muhammad Ali, four, Serena Williams, five is Peyton Manning, six, Montana, seven, LeBron, eight, Tiger, nine, Brady, and 10, Wayne Gretzky. So hockey fans, you get a guy in on the list. What changes would you make? Let me know on Twitter. No right or wrong answer, just a fun topic to throw out. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. That'll do it for today's show. Again, thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great week, everybody. I will talk to you again next Monday. We are in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep those five-star reviews coming. And, of course, we are on the Grizz. This has been episode number 405. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.